Welcome to the ABCA's podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Brownlee. Coaches, let's talk about your new assistant, Rapsodo. With Rapsodo's products, you can track everything from how fast a pitcher throws to a batter's spin rate off the bat. Rapsodo's pro-level data gives you the power to look deeper into every athlete's skills, helping them take their game to the next level. Whether you want the basic data points or a more advanced look at a player, coaches can customize their dashboard to help identify strengths and weaknesses that the naked eye can't see. Turn the cage into a simulated field to make competition and practice more engaging. Take the guesswork out of coaching. From youth baseball to Major League Baseball, Rapsodo is used by thousands of colleges, facilities, and high schools to help their athletes train. Visit rapsodo.com/baseball to check out their lineup of game-changing technology and how you can implement them into your program. Play on. This episode is sponsored by Netting Pros. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals is an official partner of the ABCA and continues to provide quality products and services to many high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Make sure to let CEO Will Miner know that the ABCA sent you. Now on to the podcast. Next up on the ABCA podcast is Alabama State head coach and this summer's USA Collegiate Team manager, Jose Vasquez. Vasquez was hired as the head coach at Alabama State in the summer of 2016. In 8 seasons, the Hornets have 6 SWAC East titles and won the SWAC championship in 2022. The 2023 squad posted a 41-18 record and a 26-4 conference mark. They were the NCAA Division I leader in batting average at a .334 clip. Vasquez spent 14 years as an assistant at Alabama State in Bethune-Cookman and was honored with the ABCA Division I Assistant Coach of the Year in 2013. Vasquez's final 6 seasons at Bethune, they posted a 104 record in the MEAC. In this episode, we do a deep dive into pregame and in-season practice planning. Let's welcome Jose Vasquez to the podcast. You got rained out last night, huh?
We had the tarp on the whole day, and it didn't rain. It wasn't raining until like 3 o'clock, and here I am, you know, questioning the decision and still looking at the radar. But then right at close to 4:45, we got rain the rest of the night. So basically, not that I was glad that it rained, but I, you know, to justify the decision.
Yeah. How far is Birmingham from y'all?
Hour and 10. Yeah, but I just don't know if we can reschedule it because the time that he had open was a Wednesday, and I try to go away from double meet week once we start conference play. Yep. You know, it's just not smart to do it that way, I think.
It seemed like everybody's kind of gone away from the Wednesday games if they could, where people are playing on Tuesdays. Do you practice on Mondays then? If you're gonna play on a Tuesday, do you practice on Monday and then take Wednesday off?
What I've been doing this year, actually.
Yeah.
I just think we haven't done it in the past.
Yeah, we switched. It seemed like around 2017, more teams were going to Tuesday midweek games, and so we adjusted to take the off day as the Wednesday because then you could at least get a practice in Thursday before you played on the weekend. I just never liked playing a game coming off an off day. I just felt like we were sluggish.
Well, you're right. You're right, and that's why we didn't do it last year, but this year we're implementing that. So we're going to even if it's just a short workout, get the blood, you know, flowing and moving a little bit, and then take Wednesday off. That's what we're going to start doing, because the Thursday gets you back in track anyways for the Friday, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So, are you still taking traditional IO right before the game? Because I've seen more teams going to IO before batting practice, which...
No, we still do the traditional. Yeah, we do our BP, and then we just kind of let the other team do their thing, and then we just, you know, that way the guys can get something to eat in between and just get in that mindset to get going.
Yeah, I saw Kennesaw and Clemson a couple weeks ago, and Kennesaw uses all machines for their ground ball work now. And so we talked about that, if they did IO before BP, and they said they get so many reps with the machines that they couldn't do it that way, that their guys needed a breather during BP because they get so many reps in with the machines. I thought that's the first time I've seen that with Kennesaw doing
That's pretty cool. We do machine the whole time for hitting.
Yep.
We're going away really from throwing, you know, the feel good BP, I guess.
Yeah. Belmont was doing that at South Carolina. They had the higher poles, so they were using it more. I love the high poles, man. Just, it makes sense.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yep. All right, here with Jose Vasquez, head coach Alabama State since 2016. 5 out of 7 years has won the SWAC East, but spent time at BCC and Alabama State, and that's where we go back to old recruiting days. The Iowa Junior College Circuit is the first time that I met you. It was on the Iowa Junior College Circuit.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
My wife is from Iowa.
Yes, that's right.
So it's, you know, I used to, and I played in Iowa. Yep. So, I mean, I played junior college over there, and always had a lot of respect for the coaches over there. Still a lot of good friends, and a lot of good programs, man. A lot of good programs over there. Yeah. Feeding a lot of good schools. it always happens. So you try to go there and steal one or two from there, you know.
And you're 2013 ABCA Assistant Coach of the Year.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did Merville Melendez mean for your playing and coaching career?
Oh, my goodness. Mentor, friend, you know. And I always knew that I wanted to stay in the game of baseball. I wanted to, you know, obviously everybody wants to play professionally, and all of us had that dream. But I always knew that I wanted to coach. And I when I played for him, it's almost like I told him, I said, hey, I want to, you know, once I'm done playing, I want to stay. I want to be basically like you. I want to be a Division I head coach. And he was the one that believed in me and gave me an opportunity. And, I mean, obviously, you know, grateful for the rest of my life, because he's the one that believed in me. And, you know, we did some good things when I played for him. I think we accomplished some things that in his career, I think they were the first. You know, we won 39 games. We won our first regional game in the Gainesville regional. We had a really good team, and you know, won the conference. And like I said, well, as soon as I was done, I needed a semester to graduate, and he said, I got you, and I want you to be part of my staff. And then we were together for 14 years, you know, and then we took on this program in the summer of 2011 here at Alabama State. I came with him as an associate head coach, and you know, we did some good things in a year. And I think once again, my career, you know, like I said, a mentor, a friend, somebody that I look up to, and you know, I talked to him not too long ago, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who impacted you the most as far as getting to the States to play?
Well, you know what? We just played UMES, and it's a kind of like a crazy story. But the head coach at UMES, which is the newly, you know, is his first year, Danny Acosta, was getting in the business at that time, and he was helping excuse me, he was helping some coaches in the U.S., and he was the one that recommended me to go to, at the time, an NAIA school in Iowa. I don't know if you remember, but Westmark University, you know, powerhouse at the time, NAIA. And then from there, I guess I started my, you know, my college career. Ended up going to Iowa Lakes, you know, played 2 years there. And, you know, ended up, I guess, graduating from Bethune-Cookman.
Was there any thought of going with Merville when he left to go to NFIU, or were you again, were you pretty set on taking over the Alabama State program?
There was a thought. I think it's in a way, professionally, I felt, you know, ready, you know, to be in charge of a program. And when I had that conversation with him, he understood, you know, and he was extremely happy that that I was going to be able to be in charge, you know, and once again. But there was, as far as your question, yeah, there was a thought, you know, as we talked about it, we, you know, communicated what the plan would have been. But at the same time, I also, you know, told him, I said, I think, you know, I feel that I'm ready. And I wanted his blessing, and I got his blessing, you know, and
I think it's always around that 14, 15 year mark. You know, you put your time in as an assistant where you feel like you're ready to take over a program at that point.
Yeah. You know, when you, and you, like you said, there's a time in your career and where you feel that you're ready to you know, to get that opportunity and make certain decisions. And once again, I felt ready in a lot of areas, you know, managing the program and managing the game. And like I said, he was really good to me. I learned a lot of the things that we still do, are things that I learned, you know, under him, and we did together. So, you know, I obviously, just like everything, you twitch some things here and there and what you want to do, I guess, or.
What did you tweak? I mean, what were some things you tweaked going from an assistant to head coach?
I tweaked a little bit, probably on the recruiting side, I went a little bit based on more left-handed pitching, you know, we kind of, and a little bit more of the power guys that can hit doubles and home runs, you know. I think when we were together, we obviously wanted to have a combination, you know, we were general managers of putting really good teams together. So I just went away with maybe a little bit of the athleticism, and then we just went a little bit more with certain, you know, guys that could hit doubles as the game changed, you know, and obviously we just little things like that.
And it looks like your roster's pretty traditional with high school kids and then junior college transfers.
We still, you know, I think that we're, I don't know if we're the norm, but I, you know, we still have an intent to get the high school, you know, players that we feel that can come in and help us. Right now, I have three freshmen in the lineup. You know, when I got some freshman arms that are starting on the weekend, so we I don't think that's gonna change. You know, obviously everybody, you know, the portal has changed some things, but we're still very intrigued by the development aspect of the player. And I think in a way it's what we have known and done for years. So I don't think, you know, yeah, you do want the experience. You know, at the end of the day, you wanna have a little bit of a combination. Because freshmen, you know, they're good players, but at times, you know, they haven't been in certain situations and they're going to be freshmen. But then again, you see the maturity quicker than if they just play after their junior year or even sophomore year. You know, right now my catcher, for example, played all 56 games last year. He's a sophomore, and he plays like he's a senior, you know, just because everything that the game can bring to you, he's already been through it. So he's one of those guys that as a sophomore, you know, he becomes the leader of your team.
How fast was it for him in the beginning last year, freshman year? I think that's the hardest position for freshmen.
Absolutely.
Catching is the hardest position for freshmen.
It was fast because you always have to have the the mindset, right, as a coach, and to where he needs to understand that the hitting is secondary, you know, because, you know, you got to leave your emotions behind when you have a bad at bat, and we need you to play good defense. We need you to still go out there and play hard and block baseballs and try to steal a couple of strikes and things of that nature. So it's hard because that's not too many guys, you know, a lot of, as you know, a lot of baseball players think it's all about the offense, you know, and when you're playing that position, when you're a shortstop, when you're a catcher, you know, what we want is just be steady, you know, control the pitching staff. And he was able to do that, very mature young man. And once again, his defense ability, athleticism, is fun to watch.
Did you have to change your management style at all going to head coach? I mean, I've known you forever. I knew you were going to do a great job as a head coach, but did you have to switch anything management-wise now that you're really making the lineup?
You know, things like that. I think we get a little bit more analytical right now with a lot of things, which is something that I, throughout the years, you know, we meet quite a bit and see who fits better in a certain spot in the lineup. What can they bring to the table? You know, what can we do when the game is on the line? You know, if just best case, worst case scenario type of thing. So you kind of play with that quite a bit. I think that's something that is fun. You know, you can overdo it at times, but I think it's a good conversation because you get your staff involved and talk about all those scenarios that the game can bring.
I mean, what stats and data are you leaning on when you're trying to make the lineup out?
Well, I like the two-hole guy to be a left-handed hitter. You know, I like that four-hole, the hope open. I still like the having somebody on the ninth hole that can get on base. You know, I don't want it to, you know, to feel like an empty, you know, spot in the lineup. It's somebody that can still get the job done. And adjustments like that, really, you know, they're traditional at times, and some changes that, you know, that I have seen from professional baseball also, you know, like leading off a guy that can open the game with a home run. Sometimes, you know, you think about just a smaller guy, you know, scrappy. No, sometimes you just want to be up 1-0 without nobody out, you know.
That was Chris Bryant at San Diego. They let him off.
Well, right now I got Ali LaPred is a senior right fielder, really good player, and I'm leading him off. And he hit 13 home runs for us last year. So, I mean, as an opponent, if you think about it, look how much of a concentration you have to put in from the first guy in the lineup, because you make a mistake. Like I say, you'll be down 1-0. So I think it's a good. You know, I see it in the big leagues quite a bit. Guys that hit the ball out are leading off. And you know, obviously, I think something that I would say is universal. You want to give your best hitters the most at-bats in a game possible. So I think that every coach would agree with that.
Are you still involved with coaching the hitters like you were as an assistant? I mean, you had great teams as an assistant.
Well, thank you. I am, and... But at the same time, I have an associate head coach that is really good, and Drew has all the trust in the world. We've obviously been together now in close to the same situation for, I think it's 14 years. You know, play for me, play for us, and does a great job. You know, we led the nation in hitting last year, so I mean he's works extremely hard, able to identify. Ways to get to the guys and to make adjustments. And, you know, whenever obviously I have something that I think could be useful, hey, we talk about it. What about this? What about that? But it's just the dynamic that we have with communication, you know, and the way that we, like I said, we've known each other. I come to him, he comes to me, and then we just come to the solution, and then we just make sure that we are speaking the same language, the same message. It's not something that I'm going to say something different, you know, and then he'll say something to the hitters. No, it's just let's be on the same page. And I think that's awesome to have, you know, that kind of chemistry with the coaching staff.
And you said you're using all machines for pregame.
So yeah, we have gone
all fastballs. Are you mixing breaking balls in too? How are you doing?
No, it's not just fastballs. The only thing that is not good about that is that my arm, I don't use my arm anymore. I used to enjoy throwing batting practice. You know, it was a stress release for me, but we one of the things that actually we learned a long time ago, and Drew was with me, and I really can't recall exactly who was the convention, but they said something about the machine. We're talking about, this is 8-9 years ago. I said, if you want to get the best out of your hitters, you got to make them feel uncomfortable. And that, you know, when you set the machine, and obviously the settings are, I'm not talking about just right there, but when you challenge them a little bit, you know, I think the concentration level goes up, and obviously we take our pre-game serious, and we want to make sure that they locked in. So we do that. We have invested in, you know, a few machines that are really good right now, and fastball, breaking ball, as much as, you know, left-handed breaking ball, as much as we can mimic, you know, really what we may see that day or we may see that weekend. We try to work on that stuff.
How much are you doing base running during pregame?
We do it, I would say, on the weekend, we do it once a weekend. So we do it on the first day when we're taking batting practice, right? And then on the next 2 days, you know, we it's a long weekend. You've done this before. You know, you don't want to baby the guys, but at the same time, they have to, you know, you want to cover a lot of this stuff. And one thing that we do, we talk quite a bit on the things that we want them to do. And sometimes, yeah, you got to show them, they got to do it physically. But I think it's a lot of communication on what we want them to do in game-like situations. So we do it, but we don't do it, you know, for example, 3 times during the weekend and a midweek game. And no, we do it at least once during the weekend.
How are you handling volume of throws then pregame too? Like, are you taking in and out every game before every game? Are you giving them time off? How are you doing that?
You know what? No time off when it comes to IO. I'm a little bit old school in there. The throws are minimum. You know, when you have evaluators, right, that are coming to our games daily, I know that they want to see that. So, you know, I like to put them in situations where they can see. Some of them, that's their best tool. You know, some of them are playing a particular position because they can do certain things. And I think it's a way for them to not only get to know the field that we're playing in, but also to show those tools to hopefully get looked at and get a chance to play beyond the college level.
With your week rotation, are you traditional? Is it Friday, Saturday, Sunday starter? You've got a midweek starter. Are you mixing it up in the middle of the week with your pitching staff?
Typically traditional, but this year is once again, we're trying to adapt. We're trying to adapt because we those midweek games, and every game is important to me. You know, like I want to win every time that I step on the field. And I think that if we're able to, it depends on the workload, but you know, I'm in the past, I haven't been too in favor of just the one inning here, one inning there, everybody gets to pitch. I'm more of I want to find somebody that'll give us a chance, whether it's 4 or 5 innings, just keep us in the game. And then we'll do one inning after that. Maybe, you know, it's just too much game to cover. When it comes to, you know, because you got to think basic good and bad scenarios too. You know, sometimes you're like, hey, this guy will give me 2, then this other guy will give me 2, and we're up 4-0. It doesn't happen like that all the time. You know, it don't go like that all the time. So,
you know, we talked about that too. So Mondays, those Monday practices, how hard are you going on those Monday practices?
No, not too hard. Not too hard. It's like I said,
kind of
it's
taking it out a little bit.
Yeah, at that point, what we want to get out of that is, like I said, it's a long weekend. As Sunday, as you know, is always a grind. you know, you always see the team is it's an energy day. You try to, as a coach, you know, from us, we have to bring as much energy as we want the guys to show. Because I mean, it's been to whether we won, whether we lost, you still at the end of the weekend, it's been a long week for the guys. So you want to be able to, you know, like I say, you want them to have that energy. And then on Mondays, even though it's a day that, you know, you just want to wind out a little bit, you still want them to move. You know, you still want them to get treatment and ice and all that stuff. But I like the fact that we're changing that into let's get something done. You know, light BP, take some ground balls, you know, still get in rhythm with things. And then we play that Tuesday, and then Wednesday will become my day off.
When are you relaying opponent stats and going over opponents with them? Are you doing that before the game? Are you doing that the day before? When are you going over opponents?
A little bit of both. Sometimes before the game, sometimes when we have the opportunity to prepare, you know, way ahead of time, obviously. We do probably two days before we, you know. But we want to... So that way, if we do it before, it's because we're working at practice a certain way that we may think the opponent is going to play, right? Even though you're playing the game, you know, we always feel that we're just playing the game, not just the opponent. But then again, if certain opponents have certain tendencies, you do have to understand that that's what they might do in certain situations. So you have to cover those things or at least have an idea that that's what's going to happen, so nothing gets you by surprise.
Yeah, we had certain teams in the league that always safety squeeze, so that week of prep, we always had to work on handling safety squeeze more than other times.
Listen, there's it's funny that you mentioned that. There's some great coaches in our league, and some of them have different philosophies, and their teams are completely different. Some of them are built for the doubles and home runs. Some of them are built to score one run an inning. That's what they want to do. So you just got to, you know, you got to work on picks. You got to work on bunt defense. You know, you got to work on tandem relays. You know, you got to work on, a lot of things, flyball communication prior to certain series and things of that nature. Yeah.
What have you loved about being in the SWAC?
I love that, number one, it has continuously every year gotten better. Okay. I love that we have a group of coaches that care and wanna win, you know, and I think that I see it yearly. I see when we face opponents, and I see, like I said, I see that there's not a team that goes down every year. They're obviously trying to go to a different level, and I respect that. And I enjoy that because it's motivation for us. You know, we got to continue to make sure that we not only recruit to the best of our ability, but that we understand that every game that we step on the field, you know, we're going to see good competition. So, you know, I love that. And like I said, we're good coaches, good people in the conference. A lot of some guys that were not just opponents, you know, we're friends, obviously, when we're not, you know, facing each other. So, and a lot of people that support each other, a lot of good coaches that support each other.
How's the Andre Dawson Classic?
Oh, man, that's first class.
It is.
It's hard to explain because Major League Baseball, you know, when you talk to the people that are in charge of putting that together, talking about Dale Matthews, you're talking about Tony Reagans, you're talking about that whole crew that have taken that event and obviously making it their own, and first class, the treatment that we get as a program, the now being in Vero Beach, the facilities down there is beautiful. Everything that you can, you know, being on TV, you know, so everything that they have done is an honor for us to be a part of that. And I told, told them that it's as long as they won Alabama State, be a part of that that event, you know, we will be there. It don't matter where it is. You know, it can be in Alaska, and if we can go, we're gonna be there. So it's a good thing. Once again, they're growing it. They're growing the event every year. We're very happy to be a part of it, and it's because they have made it into what it is.
Do you like the double round robin format of your league, the conference? Do you like playing everybody twice? I mean, obviously, you've won the league 5 out of 6 times or 7 times. So obviously,
we want to. I think there's a good group. I don't want to say the majority. There's a big group that wants to be able to play everybody. So it really comes to logistics, right? Because we have you have, for example, the Bethune-Cookman in Daytona Beach, and then you have 2 teams in Texas. You know, you have Arkansas program, you have, Mississippi. So I think it's a region thing as far as trying to make it work. But I think there's a big group of coaches that are in favor of playing everybody if we could throughout the year rather than just playing everybody 6 times. Yeah.
It just seemed like the second go around, it was going to get a little chippy with the teams because you'd already seen them. Like, that was the only thing for me. It's like, okay, we've already seen these guys. Now you can make adjustments and how you handle things because you're seeing them again. But it just seemed like things always maybe got a little more heated on.
You're 100%. Let me tell you, FAMU, right? Which yeah. They won the conference championship. We play FAMU, including the conference tournament, 9 times. I believe it's 9 times. Either 8 or 9 times in a span of 2 weeks.
Yep.
You know, and that's, like I said, I'm not saying that was a disadvantage or advantage. It felt kind of, you know, we knew everything about each other. I can tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. How do you find work-life balance, or is there such a thing as a Division I coach? I think about it all the time. I don't know if there's work-life balance if you want to be good.
There is. I think for me is, you know, having a good wife, number one. You know, having a wife that understands what you do and understands how competitive we are, right? And to, because you don't win by getting lucky. You know, you might win a few games because of luck, but you know, if you want to be consistent and if you want to be at a level into where winning is an expectation, you got to work. And every work requires you for you to work and be there and make adjustments and have meetings and just go out there and try to, you know, be better every day. So, you know, I have 2 daughters. I have one that is in college. I got my youngest one is a sophomore in high school, and they support what I do. And I, you know, whenever throughout the season, they're supporting, you know, us coming to as many games as they can. So, I mean, there's got to be a balance, you know, there's got to be. But at the same time, once again, if we want to continue to be consistent, you know, we have to put the work to be able to do that.
Is your daughter at Alabama State?
My daughter goes to Auburn. She wants to do pharmacy, so she's a freshman at Auburn, and the youngest one is a sophomore in high school and is playing volleyball. Nice. She's a setter, so she does a good job.
Are you still actively involved with the recruiting as much as you were as an assistant?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be, don't you?
Yeah, no, once again, I got Drew and Branch that they, as far as do the majority of it, right? But I'm always, we're having meetings constantly about what the needs are. And as far as a phone call, I think it's always good when you have to get on the phone. And as a player, I feel that it's always good when you hear from the head coach. You know, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I think it's always good when you go to that player and the family and say, hey, we need you. You know, you're one of the guys that we are counting on if we can get you here. I think it's always good when, you know, and I did it for so many years, right? So, I mean, to me, I always find time. And nowadays, you really don't have, it used to be a time when you and I started, I guess, that you just camp at the office, right? And took a time and made phone calls and things like that. Not anymore. You know, I could be watching my daughter play volleyball and I can step out for a second and you know, make a phone call or things like that. So, you know, we find it's a balance, but I think now experience, just like the players, yep. You know, you can always find some time to, you know, to make sure that you're still going after those guys that can change your program.
Do you feel a responsibility to giving other minority players an opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
you're in the position you're in because somebody gave you an opportunity. Do you feel?
Yeah, you know, for that? You know, it's with, you know, when I look back, right? When I look back and I'm not saying that, but when I look at my career and I look in the position that I am and that I've been able to get to, number one is because somebody gave me an opportunity, right? And number two is because one, I got that opportunity, I always felt that I needed to do anything and everything in my power, right, to make that person look good. So it is, I do feel the responsibility. You know, we have here at Alabama State, we have a roster that is, you know, very diverse. And I think it's awesome. You know, our university, I always give credit to our university, our president, Dr. Ross, and our AD and everybody in the administration they have allowed us to go out there and get the best players that we can. And they have supported us. They love baseball in Montgomery, Alabama. It's a great university. I'm happy to obviously be the face of the program as far as but I do feel the responsibility because at the end of the day, like I said, I got an opportunity and I feel that I'm making the most of it. And now I'm not saying I'm old, but you know, now people call me for reference and all that stuff. So yeah, it's whether it's in baseball or not, you know, there's some things that I feel that I want to continue to show the guys, everybody that you can accomplish, you know, whatever you want to accomplish in life.
I like Montgomery. That's always my stop. I told you that at the convention. That's always my stopping point when I go from Greensboro to Pensacola to see my parents. It's always Montgomery's always my stopping point.
That's a couple
of places in Montgomery.
Absolutely, very good, very good places. It's a great town. Like I said, you know, we're happy. We're happy. It's a lot of good people, man, here in Montgomery.
When did you get the call for the USA team?
Wow, that happened. That was the season started on the 16th. I got the call on I think it was my birthday, the 15th.
I'm so pumped.
The 15th, I got the call with the final decision. Yes, it was my birthday, and what a birthday gift, huh?
Yeah. How much have you done with USA Baseball up to this point?
Just last year.
Love it.
I'm telling you, man. It's hard to explain. People ask me, you know, like, explain how you feel. And it's hard to explain because I will tell you this. I always had the dream. And so it was always a dream to be involved with USA Baseball. That I can't lie about that. I wanted to, you know, to be involved in some capacity. Right. So the opportunity comes about last year and, you know, got to be first base coach and a staff that it was amazing. You know, Larry Lee from Cal Poly, Tommy Ayer from Stanford, Reggie Christensen from Cal State, and then Andy Stankiewicz, and then, you know, myself. And I had a blast, and obviously saw how USA Baseball is an extreme. I mean, the organization and the way that is that things are done.
I love how they do things over there.
No,
I love how they do
it's things. Hard to explain, man. It's just, you know, first class.
If you're a baseball fan listening in, and you haven't been to Cary to watch how they do things, go over there.
Oh, you need to.
And watch how they do it. It's awesome.
You know, and seeing firsthand how the players are treated, how the coaches are treated, how everything, all the attention to detail. How much it goes into making sure really that everything is taken care of. You get the level of appreciation. It just goes to the roof. And, I was so happy to be a part of it, you know, when once again, I experienced that and for me to be considered now to be the manager of the collegiate national team, like I said, I'm extremely grateful. It's something that I will share it for the rest of my life. So I, you know, obviously my goal is to, number one, take care of what we need to take care of, you know, here at Alabama State and obviously make everybody, you know, proud, and not only our conference, you know, my family and everybody involved with USA Baseball that have entrusted in me with this task for the summer. Needless to say, man, it's like I said, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Do you have a fail forward moment? Do you have anything you thought was going to set you back, but looking back now, it helped you move forward?
In my career?
Yeah. Personal, professional, anything?
You know what? I thought that at one point, because I didn't get an opportunity to play professional baseball, I thought that not having that on my resume was going to be a setback. I had an opportunity to sign. I actually said no. Yeah, I don't know. God had different plans for me. So I did know that I wanted to coach, and, you know, we're able to do some crazy things when we were at Bethune-Cookman, and then coming in here and making this program into where we feel it is, you know, right now. And, but I think if, you know, to answer your question, I thought at one point that people were going to be looked at before me, right? Because they play professionally, whether it was independent or some type of professional baseball. And I never did get the chance. I just played Division I. I played junior college, and, you know, I was pretty decent player when I did it. So it was, you know, one of those things that I thought that could have hurt me, but you know.
You got started. You got your work experience started earlier. I think that's more helpful than anything else, if you can get started earlier.
Well, it's true. You know, I started as soon as I was a student assistant first, and I remember the true meaning of climbing the ladder, really, little by little every year, you know, from student assistant to second, second assistant, and then from second assistant was named recruiting coordinator, you know, first assistant, and then associate head coach. And then, so I went through all the little, you know, the steps that are necessary, in my opinion. And that's what you probably want to tell young coaches nowadays. You know, they, just like in a lot of areas, they're, you have to go through the process, you know, entry-level position type of thing. Some guys get to be managers right out of college. Some others, you know, you have to go through the certain steps. I wouldn't change anything, because it allows me to cover so many areas into where now as a head coach and leading a program, you know, you kind of have a good idea of what everything needs to, everything needs to be lined up in order for you to be successful.
How did you handle your relationship with those guys at Bethune that you had played with now that you're coaching?
Give me a little more than that. What do you mean?
I'm just saying, because I had to do the same thing where you're not teammates anymore. You're now
you're talking about as soon as I was done playing.
Yes, you're a student assistant.
That was tough. That was tough because there's times that very early you have to be able to show that capacity of turning that switch into where, hey man, like I'm not that I'm at a different level, but you know, we're not the same. You're a player, I'm a coach. So, you know, and it wasn't anything personal. I remember early in my career, you know, I did get on one of the players for not hustling, you know, and he's looking at me like, hey, you're my teammate. And I'm like, no, I was your teammate. Now I'm your coach, you know, trying to get the best out of you. But I think I handled it pretty good. You know, still in touch with a lot of the guys that actually were teammates, and then had a year left or 2 years left. But it was easy transition, but it also helped because Melendez was, you know, allow me to, hey, this is an extension of me, you know. So basically, when it's not like he would stick for the, you know, for the players first, like obviously he'll look at certain situations and be like, hey, you got to treat coach just like if it was me. So yeah,
it was 2001. When it was Tallahassee Regional, Bethune was in there, Evansville was in there, and Florida State was in there. I can't remember who else was in there.
That was, I think that was actually before my time.
Yep. Yep.
That was before my time, and I do remember, if I'm not mistaken, There was Mark Woodyard. I think he pitched against Florida State, had him on the ropes.
Did, yes, for sure. Bethune yeah. should have beat Florida State.
And then he ended up making it to the big leagues, yeah, that
John
pitcher.
John Griffin was on Detroit. That Florida State team. That yeah. team could bang it around, that Florida State team. Evansville should have beat Florida State, too. They got beat in the night game. They should have beat Florida State, but they threw yeah, we, away. Shout out Ryan Connors, one of my former teammates. I was actually coaching at JMU, and we were done playing, so I actually came before I went and coached summer ball. I was heading to the Cape that summer, but I had a weekend off before I had to go up there. And so I went and watched that regional. And, yeah, both those teams should have beat Florida State.
Man.
Hard and then Florida State at home, though.
Oh, they had that magic. We went there a couple of times. And it is, as you say, it is very hard to beat them at home. Yes. Even – it didn't matter the scenario. Midweek game, yep. weekend series, or regional – it was a tough environment, and obviously always talented and well coached. So,
you have any morning or evening routines you do every day? You're in good shape, so do you have anything you work out at all?
Yeah, not as hard as I used to, but I stay. You know, I try to go to the field probably 2 hours earlier than normal, and just kind of move around over there a little bit. You know, I got the weight room is close to my office. So go in there and just maybe a beach workout, you know, arms and a tricep and a little bit of chest. And but still, you know, I have to do something. And with I feel like I'm still pretty young, you know, to relate to the guys, and not only in a conversation, but also, you know, being able to hit the phone goal, you know, throw batting practice if I need to, you know, do all those things that we once did, you know. And I think the guys, once again, they
That's
just
a unique thing for me with baseball coaches. They're still so active with mm-hmm. how you have to get through practice, games. Yeah. Baseball coaches are still so active, which is awesome.
Well, and mentally, it's draining. You know, you've been through this. It's draining. You know, you go through the ups and downs of the season, and you have to be able to take care of yourself. And you know, my wife reminds me all the time, hey, you gotta, you know, stay in shape. You gotta do your thing. You gotta continue to, you know, get some time for you. You know, and I definitely, you know, listen to her, and gotta take care of ourselves in order to be able to take care of the people that we. That we oversee.
How do you decompress after the season? Do you do any reflection time on the past season, or you just get right into recruiting? Do you have
that's
any decompress? It's hard, man.
I don't think I ever decompress.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I need to work on, because unless you're winning that trophy in Omaha, yeah. you know, obviously there's going to be a time that you're going to end up, you know, with whether, you know, you're losing that last game unless you're winning the championship. And things that I'm always thinking, you know, I have a good memory. I'm always thinking what I could have done differently. And that's hard for me. You know, what I have learned is to throughout the season, just, it's kind of cheesy, but don't let the highs get too high, lows get too low. Enjoy that win, learn from losing. Because obviously, you know how it is. Sometimes you win the game and you don't cover certain things that you did wrong just because you won. Yep. And then, you know, I just try to enjoy it, not for long, and move on and just get ready to work. Because this game is too hard. The game is too hard for you to think that you have it figured out, including from our side, yep. from the coaching side. You know,
it reminds you quick. Once you think you got it figured out, baseball reminds you really quick.
And that's the beauty of it.
Yes.
That's the beauty of it because, you know, you play the other day we play a game and we won 17-5 and everything was clicking. And then the next game we won 7-5, you know, with a tying run on base. And you're like, okay, you know, it's just baseball. Anything can happen any given day.
Was it Coach Melendez that recommended you be in the ABCA?
Early when I started coaching with him, it was him because he made sure that I needed to, you know, to register.
Yep.
So I've been a member now, wow, it's 21 years. So he recommended, and we went to, I remember my first one was in Chicago. Then we went to Orlando, Philadelphia. We've been to San Diego, Nashville. You know, we've been to, there's a few here and there that I have missed. But for the most part, it's been a consistent, and it's just, it's great.
I feel like the diversity committee's done a tremendous job. Like I feel like they've done a great job. I feel like those meetings have gotten much better attendance. I think they're more organized. I feel like the diversity meeting's been really good.
I think it's a great initiative. Yeah. It's a great initiative, and this is addressing an issue, that is happening, So it's nothing that is being made up. It's happening. We need more minorities, to be at this level. So, and college baseball in general, So it's a good thing. And I, going over there and being a part of it, it's fun, man. It's fun. This one, the one that we just had, it was fun for me. A lot of good people that I saw, and it's always good to interact with people that are really friends,
What are some final thoughts before I let you go? You're right in the middle of things here, so you better get back to the field. What are some final thoughts?
Number one, thank you for having me. College baseball is a great game. I have seen it grow to the level of the magnitude that we have right now, the coverage that we're getting, the touch of a button. We can see so many games on a Tuesday or throughout the weekend. You can see the game changing a little bit with everything we got going on, from analytics to programs that really want to win and understand that baseball is a sport that people love, nationally. So I would say continue to follow what we're doing. For the people that are there, continue to understand that we do it to, obviously we want to win, but at the end of the day, we want to try to help this young man become, better people. And, even though we're going through to different stretches and life and all that stuff, at the end of the day, that's what the ultimate goal is. And I think you can do both. I think you can take care of guys and care for them and also win some games. And then, as you do that, so.
Attendance has been great. Everywhere I've been, even if the weather hasn't been great, attendance has been phenomenal the last three weekends.
It's awesome. Like I said, it's changing for the better. I think the competition, everybody, in my opinion,
all teams, that's the great thing for me.
If you think about it,
if you go into a college baseball game, you're going to see two really good teams go after it.
And that's what's happening. The ultimate measure right now is that. You have seen some upsets, and you're going to continue to see them, because guys are getting better. And there's, in a way, I do have to say that the draft being just 20 rounds is allowing for a lot of guys to see college, and I think that's something that a lot of programs are going to benefit from it, So you get the chance to help develop those guys. It's fun, man. Like I said, I love the coverage. I'm excited about what's happening with us. I'm excited about Team USA and getting an opportunity, like I said before, to do that and do it out of our conference. I think it says a lot of the kind of baseball that we're playing and the respect that we're getting nationally.
All right, Jose, thanks for your time, man. It's always great seeing you, sir.
All right, take care.
I love it when good things happen to good people. I've always had a lot of respect for the job that Coach Vasquez has done on his coaching path. I wish him the best of luck the rest of this spring and with his journey this summer with USA Baseball. Thanks again to John Litchfield, Jim Richardson, Zach Hale, Matt West, and Antonio Walker in the ABC office for all their help on the podcast. Feel free to reach out to me via email, rbrownlee@abca.org, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, coachb_ABCA, or direct message me via the MyABCA app. This is Ryan Brownlee signing off for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Thanks, and leave it better for those behind you. Turning, and your life's not for yearning.
Wait for another.